Welcome to the Detail Solutions Podcast. My name is Alex Russell, and I'm going to be your host. Episode 5. This is a big one. I wasn't sure if we would get here. So I had a few people that I wanted to talk to, made my list of 5. So tonight is it. Unfortunately, Aaron Knox could not be with us. So we are going to talk to a couple of badass detailers who I met last year at MTE, and they've been pretty cool with me since then. Good friends, I consider them, even though we don't hang out as much, but we do talk, we see each other at events, things like that. So we are going to be speaking with the Bakers, Rashid and Megan from BCCD Jax. So stay tuned.
Yellows.
Mr. Baker, how are you doing today?
Hello, Mr. Alex.
All right, we're just waiting on Megan to jump in.
Wait, hold on. I'm trying to, because it's not connecting.
What's that?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay.
How
was your day today?
That was all right. I just did my my monthly. Hey, do you have your headphones in?
What happened?
Do you have headphones on?
Yeah, but they're not. Should I not have them on?
No. Now they're good. For some reason, in the beginning they were. It was echoing. It was repeating whatever I'd say. So I didn't wanna. But yeah, if you got them in, that's good.
I mean, I can take them out. They're not.
Nope.
I can't even hear it so much. I can only hear you through the phone. So.
Oh, okay. Well, I mean, whichever is easier for you, I'll let you know if it gives me any kind of echoing, plug them back in or put them back on or something like that, whichever. The sound is good now, so that's all that kind of matters. Megan's going to jump on here. She just texted me because I told her 7, but I figured since you guys are ready, just go ahead and do it. I have a whole lot of intro here to cut out. How was your day?
We were working on the yellow fin, trying to get it prepped for coating for tomorrow. So we got to pull it out in the morning, wash it, and then get it ready for tomorrow. So
nice.
Would you?
What's that?
So what'd you do today?
I just had my monthly clients. I take care of them on Fridays because then it's kind of like a short, easy day for me because I'm usually done by like 2 or 2:30. There's Miss Baker. How you doing, Megan?
Hey guys.
Hola.
I'm exhausted, sir. How are you?
I'm doing good. I'm doing good. Okay, so I don't know if you guys have listened to the podcast yet. I think you have listened to at least one or two. It's just kind of a get to know each other kind of deal in a sense. You know, people that I'm interested in, although I kind of know you guys, so, you know, it's not too much of a get to know you guys. But still, I think some people out there maybe who don't know you might maybe learn something from this. So my questions are going to be obviously directed for both of you guys, since you guys work together and everything. If you guys want to tell different stories or different answers, then obviously it helps fill the time because I didn't come up with as many questions because I figured with two guests, we might take up more time. And I try to keep these around 45, 50 minutes, kind of quick, easy for everybody to listen to while they're working. So first question, same for everybody else, and I'm guessing you guys can definitely answer this one separately, is so how did you guys get into detailing? Where did you start? You know, how did it go from there? Things like that.
Go ahead, Baker.
No, Baker, you started first, so you can round this up. Go ahead.
Yeah. All right. to Jacksonville, Florida back in 04. Boys home.
Hang on a second. Because we might have to do this over. I'm getting you're breaking up. The quality, it's, I don't know, Megan, was that the same for you? Could you hardly hear him? Was he breaking up?
I could hear him, but it was going in and out almost like the connection wasn't as good.
Right. Hey, let's try it again. You there, Rashid? Hello, Rashid?
Baker? Hello?
Okay. Yes. Okay.
Yes.
Right. Oh, we can hear you.
Yeah. Yes. I can hear you now. Okay, so let's try it again.
So I'm just talking through my regular phone because the headphones aren't working.
That's fine. As long as I don't hear feedback or duplicating or whatever to make it hard for people to listen to, I don't care.
Got it. Yeah. So 04, I moved to Florida. Worked at a boys' home, bought a Mustang, was wanting some extra cash, I could try to do some things, and went down to the Chevy dealership. Said, hey, I want to wash some cars. Actually, it was Nissan, because that's when I learned how to drive my first stick. So nice. I burned a lot of clutches at Nissan. If you bought a Nissan between 04, 05, it probably had a clutch. My bad. So I just worked my way there. You know, I used to work crazy hours there and kind of just bounce around, work for, you know, a big – I guess production type company like that for Asbury Group. Got into a supervisor position and then kind of just always did it. And then 2009, I got into boats, and ever since we've been on a boat.
Wow. How about you, Megan?
So of course my story is very, very different. I kind of helped out as far as the detailing. Once we got, I want to say, we bought a Trailblazer, an SS Trailblazer, and that was kind of like my baby. So that was probably the first one that like I fell in love with. Uh-huh. But as far as the true detailing world, I came from the multifamily world. I did real estate for 14, 15 years. It didn't come until 2017. Rashid got a wild hair up his ass, excuse my language, and decided that he was going to get into ceramic coating. And he was going to go down South Florida to this ridiculous ass training that cost us like an arm and a leg at the time, or at least the way that it seemed. And he was going to get certified and he was going to start doing this, you know, ceramic coating on boats. Well, the guy that he had gone down there with to be nice is just a complete idiot. And it wouldn't have turned out very well. But anyway, so he came back and he had, I want to say like 5 or 6 boats lined up by the time he got back that were all wanting to do this coating. Had signed up for a brick and mortar shop and everything. So like had just gone into it with like 2 feet.
Right.
Well, the problem that he had ran into is none of his helpers really helped. So he had one chick that like was terrified of water. Another
and
one
heights.
Was like terrified and heights and bugs. She fell in the water at one of the marinas. He had buffers dropped in the water, product dropped in the water, people that just didn't show up. I mean, it was just bad.
Right.
So when he signed on for this brick and mortar, of course, that's a shit ton of overhead. Like, holy hell, you know, buckle up, buttercup, here we go. And so I went in there, and I'll never forget, it was a dark red boat. It wasn't dark red, it was white, but it was supposed to be burgundy. Right. He was doing this boat, and Reed, which was his helper at the time, had called out. And he's like, I need help because we were under a certain deadline when we had to get it done. And the entire boat had to be, you know, sanded and compounded and, you know, et cetera. I had never touched any of this shit, Alex. I had literally like washed and waxed and vacuumed. Like that was it. I didn't touch machines. And he wants me to pick up a buffer. Like, no, I don't do that. Like you said, help. Like I came like, what do you want me to wash? I'll make shit pretty. Like, no. And he's like, no, I need you to pick up the buffer. So I picked up the buffer and I went to the back of the boat, not knowing that, of course, that's the hardest fucking part of the boat, and started there. But slowly but surely, I kind of very frustrated because at first he kind of stood behind me, which drives me nuts. But after he walked away for like 2.2 seconds, I was able to kind of get it down and it didn't look like his, which frustrated the hell out of me. But I just went back at it more and more and more. So probably about 3 years ago, I say I fell in love with it, did it for about a year. While I still did my other job. So literally like waking up at 3 o'clock in the morning, and doing that job until like, I don't know, 3 o'clock the next morning. but no, that's what it felt like, but no, doing both jobs and then helping him out at night and on the weekends and all that good stuff. After a year of that, I left the real estate job, six figure income, and said, well, here we go. And we've been doing it ever since.
Wow. So that kind of somewhat answers my next question. I was going to ask, how long have you guys been working together? So 3 years or so.
About 3 years. Yeah. Roughly about 3 years.
Wow. Mm-hmm. And then, so Rashid, you kind of touch on this. It wasn't always boats. So that was kind of what I was going to ask. Cause I mean, obviously, you know, that's what everybody kind of knows you guys for. I mean, you guys do sprinkle in a truck and a car here and there, but you guys are kind of known for, you know, working on marine vehicles. So that's where, you know, I was going to ask, I'm losing my train of thought here. Was it always boats or not? So for Megan, I guess it kind of was. And for Rashid, it wasn't because you started out in the production world, so to speak.
Correct. Yeah.
So my next question is, you guys make some of the most fun, entertaining Facebook Live videos, whether it's Jimmy. or if it's just Megan having a good time. Is it all fun and games and dancing with you guys, or you know, are you guys pretty down in, you know, nitty gritty seriousness of everything?
If you've met Baker, there is no seriousness. What you see is what you get. Now, is he breaking out the wig and the onesies every day? Thank God, no. That's not happening. But is he a riot every day? Heck yeah. I mean, we try to have fun. So, like, yeah. What you see is kind of what you get. There's always music playing. And we have a very eclectic taste. So it literally goes from country to hardcore rap to rock, and like you literally walk in our shop and you never know what's gonna be playing, what's gonna be going on, what project we're gonna have.
It turns into the strip club, you know. It turns into a 7-Eleven.
There's no strip club. What are you talking about? There's no strip club. You know. I mean, y'all have seen his videos. There is a lot of leg being shown in his videos and those movies. I mean, goodness gracious.
Yeah. You would think that he would get a tan higher up on the leg if he's going to show that.
I'm working on it.
He's working on it.
Yes, working on it. So where did the onesies and the wigs kind of come into play? I mean, is that something you just one day on a whim, or is that something that's kind of been for
I've always been that person that's like, I don't care what anybody thinks. Either you're gonna like me or you're not gonna like me. So I'm gonna do what makes me happy. I can remember a time, and I have pictures of it, and maybe one day I'll post it. I think I was in the 11th grade. No, I was a senior. A girl said she had a Girl Scout uniform. I was like, I can wear that.
And he did.
Girl Scout fit to school.
I think I may still have the pictures here. I had the brown socks on.
I had my DCs on. I had my backpack tight, and I was rocking it. Anybody thought that's just me? I figured that when you're doing this, it is high stress, you know, because you're trying to make something perfect. And if you can cut away at the day to make it easier, that just makes it funner.
Right.
I mean, everybody's all uptight and it's cutthroat, man. Everybody needs to just relax, have fun. If you like it, you're gonna go forever in it, and it's just gonna work. So then when the wig is when I went to SEMA, I was like, man, I need a I need a wig when I go to see my thing, because I was just talking shit to somebody and said, hey, I'm going to do this. And all of a sudden, the Trump socks came together. The wig came together.
No, let's get real. You had an entire alter ego that came out around SEMA. Like, it wasn't just an idea. Like, you had an entire freaking character. He broke out a freaking smoke machine, Alex, and was choking on it just to be able to make a video to show off. I mean, it's crazy because he had stuff for this SEMA that he's yet to be able to actually dabble in because SEMA didn't happen. So only God knows when that's going to get released. I mean, you've already seen the blow up paint booth.
Right.
Yeah. So when so either mobile tech this upcoming year, if we do have that, I will have a spectacular gift for somebody. If SEMA comes up, I will have a spectacular gift from somebody.
Hey, you know that you could just do that during our grand opening, Baker.
No. This is for the world to see.
Oh,
when you go to SEMA, everybody sees. And it's like, hey, this tells that
person. Oh, I'm sure everybody saw you. Like, I don't doubt that everybody saw you.
So the wig at SEMA, that was the first time you did that. So that was the SEMA that you and I were hanging out together.
Correct. Right? Yep.
Was his very first SEMA. Yeah.
That's what I was gonna ask. Was that your first SEMA? Because that was my first SEMA too.
And what's crazy is I was born and raised in Vegas. I'm from Vegas, and I never knew that you had to be like a vendor, whatever type person to go. When I turned 18, I left Vegas, said bye, and it was, I told you, it was 15 years to the date of me going back, so it had changed in ways that...
You took me the long way back to the hotel, and...
Yeah, we did.
I'm not gonna lie, I felt safe that I was with you, but it was a little sketchy.
You were that dude that night, Baker.
Yeah. We rolled through some parts.
Yeah. You know, I wondered how I was gonna get back to the hotel. Some stuff went half down, but no, it wasn't. I've been through sketchier neighborhoods, but it was actually a fun time. I'm glad that that nobody was there at the airport to pick you up. That you came and hung out at the hotel.
Oh yeah, that was spectacular.
Let's see, what do we got here? Where am I at? Okay, so you guys are one of the few detailers that I know who primarily works on marine vehicles. Again, you guys do sprinkle in some little trucks and cars here and there, but you guys are primarily boats and sea-doos and stuff like that. So who do you guys look up to? I mean, do you guys have like other marine guys that you look up to, or is it just doesn't really matter? Correcting paint, and even though it's gel coat, you're with everybody else.
I would say that I look up to Megan because she is hardworking. Yeah, she's like, oh my God, but she works harder than me. Listen, if I'm in there, she's in there. If we're going, there's been nights where we run till, we're running 15-hour days and we're getting it, and she's there. She's like, well, we'll push through it. We've slept in the truck, had the coat and bacon for an hour or two. Get back up. Hey, let's go put the next coat on. All right, let's get some coffee. So, for that, it's her, because she is a workaholic. But I mean, there are so many people in the industry that are amazing. So,
That's good. Go ahead. I was just gonna say, I mean, that's cool, just because I don't work on boats or marine vehicles, and it's not a personal preference. It's just one of those things that doesn't really happen. So I don't really, pay attention to a lot of the marine guys out there. Maybe they're in different pages and things of that nature. So you guys are kind of the only ones, that I know that are doing it, kind of on a regular basis, other than some of the other guys who pick up boats, here and there type deal.
I think the biggest difference is a lot of the times with the marine world, and I think that's what makes people like Rashid, and you'll see a few others in our group that are like him, but that aren't scared to like share their knowledge. They're not scared to like mentor someone that doesn't have a freaking clue, or someone that's been doing it for 20, 25 years that actually has a question. But the problem that you run into, which is the same issue that you run into with the car world, just you run into a lot more of it in the marine side, is just people are very closed-lipped. You have guys that have been doing this for, you know, 15, 20 plus years. They're getting ready to retire. Their bodies have had it. But do you think they're actually going to share any of their knowledge or any of their tricks? No. They literally take it out with them, and that ends up being the problem. So you end up having a lot of guys that are doing it that just don't, they don't actually, you know, actually talk to each other. They don't network. They don't have those connections. So I think that's the biggest thing of what we're trying to change, is it doesn't have to be that way. At the end of the day, there are enough boats and enough jet skis and enough watercrafts and cars and trucks to literally feed us all. I mean, shit, here in Jacksonville, you can throw a rock and hit, you know, a vehicle detailer, but you can't, I mean, I can name on one hand the total amount of boat detailers, quote unquote, and really out of on that one hand, the ones that are truly doing anything close to what we are, I could say maybe one. Most of them, I mean, they throw a rotary on a boat and they call it a day. That's just, that's the boating world. But there are a few that are up and coming that I would say I have some huge respect for. You actually see a lot of them in Paint Assassins. We actually did two of them as two of the award winners for the competition we just did. Like Josh Rarick. Dude is young, but he is turning out some crazy work. There's another couple called Boat Tees. The two of them, I mean, are killer when it comes to like your jet type boats and stuff like that. So there's definitely, they're out there. They're just quieter. Baker just kind of, he comes in and he explodes in the room. You can't I come in like him. Literally. Well, so,
I'm going to go get me a Miley Cyrus.
Oh my God, I can't with you. You are not putting on a Miley Cyrus nude onesie. It is so not happening. No.
Listen, that with some Doc Martens.
That is where I draw the line.
Well, you know, you kind of set, you know, a good point there where, you know, and unfortunately it's kind of the bummer part about, I think, this industry as a whole, is that people don't want to share, and it's crazy, you know, to share your experience or to share your knowledge to, whether it's, like you said, the up and comer, or maybe it's the guy or the girl who's been doing it forever, and maybe they're just doing it a different way. You know, that's crazy. I mean, again, there's way, way too many vehicles on the road and on the water that we all can't survive. I mean, I've always told people, you know, coming from the car wash industry where we washed, you know, anywhere from 400 to 600-700 cars a day, you know, give me not even a full day's worth of what the car wash gets and I'm good for a whole year. You know, kind of deal. Mm-hmm, so, you know, if there's that many cars that are on the road that can go through a car wash that many times, there's enough for every detailer, whether they're, you know, the $25 mobile guy or, you know, the $2,000 ceramic coating guy. I mean, there's enough for everybody. So that's something I think is a good point. You know, it would be nicer if everybody kind of shared and didn't kind of keep everything so close to the chest, as far as knowledge goes. I know you guys did training one time. Have you guys thought about doing more of that or running classes or things of that knowledge?
We actually have. We're going to be moving spaces. Our current shop, you haven't had a chance to come up to Jacksonville yet, but our current shop is just under 1,100 square feet. And for a car shop, that would be doable for a few years. You know, you can make that work. But for a boat shop, and at least the size of the boats that we're doing and to the amount that we're doing, literally our Mondays, like this past Monday, by 6:30, we had 6 boats sitting out front that we were trying to like juggle and musical chairs around. So we are actually going to be moving spaces, and we're going to be upgrading from just over 1,000 to almost 4,000 square feet. We're super excited. So once we get into that space, we're definitely going to be able to up the trainings. Of course, you know, all this craziness, they kind of slowed it down. We have done some one-on-ones, but they focus more on the repair side. there's been a lot of folks that have really kind of wanted to either fix their own vessel or have just been really interested in being able to throw it onto their, you know, their services. So a lot of times that's kind of the easiest way to get started. And I think for, at least for me, for boats, so for those people that are kind of, I've never done boats, I don't know about it. For me, being able to fix it and know that if I burn through it, that gave me kind of the confidence to, okay, you want me to turn the brush up to six? Okay, let's do this. Let's cut through it. But right. It kind of gives you that confidence where you're not as scared, because if some oh shit moment happens, you're not having to call the body shop guy down the way and hope that they've got time to fit you in, or hope that they're not going to hit you over the head because they're busy as hell. You can do it right then and there yourself. So definitely we want to amp up the trainings. We've been getting tons and tons and tons of questions about it. So hopefully over, I'd say, the next 2-3 months, we'll have some things in the works.
That's cool.
And it's just an extra revenue source also. You know, you go do a boat, say, I go quote a boat for $1,000. Hey, I see a couple of spots on your boat that can be fixed. You know, it's another $800. Wow, you just made $1,800 with just looking at a boat. So that's the thing, is we're trying to get people to understand that, listen, there's about 10 detailers out here that do boats that they will not mess with jet skis. They will mess with jet skis or fix the fiberglass side of it. In the wintertime, they slow down. In the wintertime, we're still moving because we do everything.
Now, do you kind of
go ahead?
No, I was just going to say, when you guys typically get, you know, clients coming to you or customers coming to you or calling you or whatever, are they just looking for a detail and you guys end up upselling them to doing some fixtures, or do they know that you do that stuff and they're kind of, you know, hey, I've got this, and while you're at it, maybe get it polished up kind of deal?
So about about 90% of our customers are referrals,
and
pretty much all of them are.
Yeah, no, 90 to 95% are going to be all referrals. But honestly, every phone call, whether they're calling for a detail or they're calling for a repair, I'm going to go through everything with them, and I'm going to really fill them out to see what they're doing. Now, I'd say out of all of our customers, probably about 35% of them are quick flippers, or they've had the boat for too long. They've fallen out of love with it. They just want to get rid of it. So they're not looking to throw a ton of money into it. Right. So it also becomes kind of about filling people out, because nobody wants a salesman, especially in the boating world. They want to feel like they're your best friend. If you can be their best friend, literally they will open up their pockets for you. If they feel like you were trying to like hit them over the head or sell them on some shit, just like with your people that kind of, you know, have your more expensive cars, they're able to fish out the salesmen versus the guys that are really just trying to take care of their investment. Like, hey, I'm going to educate you. These are going to be your choices. These are going to be your options. This is what you can do. Take it or leave it. And that's kind of the route that we go about it. If they kind of bite into and like, well, I've never heard about that, and they kind of sound interested, then we'll go into the coding. But as far as like the repairs go, I mean, we definitely will go through anything that we see that's not non-cosmetic. Now, I'm never going to go ripping a boat, you know, apart, just because a lot of times what we see, the customer's not going to see. So I don't want to go through and be like, hey, have you seen that? Hey, what about that? Hey, what about that? You know, you never want to do that. But if they come to you and they're like, well, I want it perfect. I want a brand new boat. Are you sure about that? Because with a brand new boat comes a price tag. We can definitely go through that. And there are those customers that are literally like, okay, we have one in the shop right now. Literally everything we call him with, do you want to do this? Yep. Do you want to do this? Yep. So we've had his boat for God, way too long, but it's almost done.
It's almost done.
Wow. Yeah. But at the end of the day, for them, it's probably cheaper just to have you guys go through and make it a brand new boat again, versus going out and buying a brand new boat.
Oh, absolutely. Right. And it becomes a one-stop shop. It becomes more of a convenience. Right. And we've had customers that said that they were going to sell their boat, that literally the wife comes back in and she's like, no, you're not. That have fallen all, you know, in love back, you know, back in love with it. So you can have just like a house, you know, you can go through and you can do your renovations through a house and it can look completely different. Boats are one of those kind of like an oxidized vehicle. Like everybody hates black vehicles, but if you get one that's like really, really bad, that owner freaking loves you when you're done. They literally worship the ground that you walk on. Like you are magician 101.
Yeah.
That's kind of how it is with boats when they get really oxidized and they're dead. Like those boats where they're like, there's no way you can save this. Like there's no way. Hold my sweet tea, honey. Yes, we can. Promise you. Yes. Yes, it can be. So, you know, that's kind of the world that we've stepped into. It's very rare, unfortunately, that we get new boats. those are usually really fun. But even the ones that we've gotten that are new, typically those customers are the ones that, you know, really, really want to take care of it. So then it becomes not just a really quick polish and coat it. It's like, no, we want it to be glassy. Okay.
and of course gel coat's different than cars, so when they get oxidized like that, you guys can cut on them a lot more than you would be able to on an oxidized car, and bring that gel coat back, versus sometimes with an oxidized car, once it's gone, it's kind of gone. There's no, you know, even if you can make it shiny again, it's not going to last as long. But and I don't know if I'm correct, but gel coat's a little different that way, right? I mean, usually if you cut it down, it stays shinier for a lot longer.
It can be. Unfortunately, just like in your line with cars and clear coat, what you'll find with oxidation just on the boats, it hides a lot. So really, you don't know until you take that oxidation off. You know, we've had some boats that are left with porosity, which is basically like little tiny pinholes all throughout the boat. And what that is that's when the gel coat has thinned out severely to where there's no gel coat or no paint in those areas.
Oh, gotcha.
So you really, really want to be super careful. What the problem is a lot of times it's hidden beneath that oxidation. So you don't really know until you get into it. And then there's been other boats where you don't think that you're going to have enough material and you end up just having to go there and pucker up, buttercup, and we're ceramic coating this baby, so we're literally going to get it perfect, make sure we leave just enough material on there, and then slather it, and then we just make sure that we emphasize to those clients that, listen, you have got to make sure you maintain this, bring it back to us at a minimum in 1 year. Once you get to about 18-20 months, bring that bad boy back to us. Don't get past that 2 year marker because your gel coat may not be able to take it. The last thing I want is you burned it off in certain areas and then you've got no gel coat to, you know, fix it. Then you're looking at a repaint, just like you would with a car. You know, there's some cars where literally you'll let them know, hey, the hood, the top of the vehicle. We just had a truck this past week where literally we were able to make the sides beautiful, but his hood, that's the last cut you have on it. Top of his truck is the last cut you have on it. Slather it in ceramic coating and keep it in on there because the next time it's going to be a repaint and there's nothing you can do. You know, all you can do is just educate the customer.
Right. And now does a lot of the boat customers turn into doing their cars or their trucks? Because again, you know, we don't see you guys post a lot about vehicles. So when you guys do get the vehicles, is that coming from your boat clientele, or is that again just people looking for a detail and hey, there's BCCD jacks with ceramic coating in the name and, you know, bada bing, bada boom?
We usually 90% of the time are going to refer the vehicles to our other detailers in the area, unless it's a bigger job where it's an actual coating. It's rare that we're, and it's just because we don't have the time.
Right.
We're not really going to do your washes and your waxes and screw an interior unless you're paying me a good amount of money. Like it's just, it's not one of those where we have the time or the space. As far as the clients that we do get, what's crazy in the boating world is usually the clients that we have, now our ceramic coating clients, yes, we will get their vehicles. But as far as like the boats in the past where we've literally just done a seal or a wash and wax, typically it's because they have their own like mobile detail person that does their vehicles.
Gotcha.
Now Rashid, I know back before I got started, had his whole mobile setup and he did a ton of vehicles that way. And he did the customer's boats. I can say before the brick and mortar, that was a little different. And Rashid, you can, if I'm wrong on that, correct me.
No, you're right.
Okay.
Man, a few words.
Right.
Hey, he knows.
Welcome to my life, y'all.
When you're right, you're right. I mean, yeah, you're right.
you're right. There you go. See.
And Rashid, I remember talking with you. I can't remember. I don't think it was NTE. I think it was the meet and greet down here in Orlando.
Yeah.
At the time, you were doing like some transporting and stuff. Is that something that you still do, or is it just you were too busy with
both? That's just one of those one-off things. We got a couple of dealerships that if they need us to go pick up boats and kind of have free time, it's kind of like extra free money.
Right.
There is money in the transportation side of it. Just people, the snowbirds from up north want to bring their boats down here. You can make a good bit of money. It's just having that time to do it. That's all.
Gotcha.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Okay, so this is another one for Rashid.
Man, I feel so loved now.
Yeah. Okay, so you guys always submit, or not even you guys, Rashid mostly, you submit some really killer reflection of the week pictures.
And I lose every time. Damn, I can't get a win for 2020. Holy smokes.
Yes, I was going to ask if you wanted to say anything on that, but yeah.
You know,
he is not going to turn down that opportunity.
Yeah, listen, I've called Bruno. Like, listen, man, I can't get one. We're putting boats in the paint, and we're making them look good. I can't get one. I can't get one win. That's all I wanted. I just want the win to say, hey, I won. Somebody needs to get online and say, hey, y'all won. Y'all deserve it. Because, man, I put my hard work into it. I put her in the pictures. I think I'm a great photographer. Right. I'm up there with, like, I'm up there with some of them high, like swimsuit dudes. You know, I made some bomb photos. But yet, I can't get a victory. I don't know what it is. You know, the judges, you know, me and the judges have had words. You know, we're not on the same page.
Yeah, and I was going to say that's not really judged by the group. Kind of like the paint correction of the month is that's two people, I believe,
right,
who judge that.
Right. And we've had a conversation. It might change. I don't know. I think it should go off of likes, you know, not just, I don't know. I feel that, you know, if you can make a boat look like a car, you should be good. It's paint on either way. Gel coat is paint. Right. We should be able to submit something. But I think that's why there's not a lot of people that submit the boat sides. And that's what we're trying to do is get the boat side up. Trying to get more.
It's hard as hell to make a boat look sexy, damn it. We try.
Listen, you know, I mean, that red one that you guys did, Red Ruby or whatever you called it.
Oh, Ruby, my God. Yes, that, the Everglade. Yeah.
That one should have won everything. I mean, it should have got Reflection of the Week, it should have got Correction of the Month, like,
aww,
you know, be in the running for the year. I mean, you guys did, I mean, wow, you know, like
that. So this is what's so great about that. She sold that boat. Okay, that was a 24-foot Everglades. She sold it, and she just bought a 29-foot Jupiter, and it's called us to come look at it because she wants to get it. Yeah, she wants to get it done. And it's one of those things where we let her know, hey, listen, this is what your boat can take. We can get it to this point. We can get it sold. And now she understands and sees the value. Right. In the coding and in the work that she trusted upon us to do, now that you have this bigger boat, and that's just a customer for life. If you don't nickel and dime them, you don't screw them over, and you're straightforward all day. You got a customer all day.
Right. So something Megan just kind of said makes me want to ask another question. When you're just like, oh, it's so big.
I knew you were going to say that.
You know, it's a clean podcast. Come on now.
Listen, I didn't say anything. Yeah.
No, but listen. Is there too big? I mean, is there
okay? I will answer this before Rashid does, because Rashid will have a different answer, and so he can answer afterwards. But hell yes, there is. Okay, I preferably like boats that are 28 feet and under. I hate the inside of boats. And I'm tiny, but I hate the inside of the boat. Nobody wants to be cramped in the same position for 3.5 hours staring at the same white part of the boat. But it happens. There are boats that are that bad to where you're literally in the same corner for what feels like an entire day. So I hate big boats. 28 feet and under, I am happy. Rashid will tell you, you put me on anything over 28 feet, and I bitch. I'll do it. Like, it'll get done, but I'm going to bitch. Listen, because I hate not, it.
Bitch is not even a word. I want a soda right now. Like, goddamn, just get on the boat.
My Let's Betty White done. Comes out hardcore. I need a Snickers. I need a soda. I need to eat. Like, it's bad. Like,
yeah, it's so bad. I feel... Yeah, listen.
It's money. Day,
It's money. It's, listen, right. That all it does is it makes your bank account a little bit fatter. Okay,
right.
Get your ass on the boat. Let's get it done.
I can make that same amount of money with half the size of boat and turn it out in twice the amount of time that it took me on that big ass boat. You just like it because people are like, ooh, you did a big boat.
What's the biggest boat you guys have done?
Together?
I mean, yeah, either or. Whatever.
40, so 42 feet.
No, you liar. It's been bigger than that. No. 52 feet. How big is Phil Porter's boat?
35 feet, dumbass. I'm
They're
sorry.
Not Phil Porter. I'm sorry. Shut up. Out. The one on Daughter's Inlet, asshole.
So that one's 40. Sorry. That one's 48. So 48 feet.
Okay, so 48 feet is the biggest one I've been on. Rashid's crazy ass prior to me worked like Humpback Mountain and was working for the cheap and the down low for like some freaking, I don't know, now, barbecue food.
Okay, so now that was
and a cold drink.
Listen. That was called a learning process. That's like one of the things that you get out there and you're just trying something new. You know, I had just started my business and I had a customer that had a 112 foot pathway.
Man,
and I would,
exactly
and I would
right.
Get, and so the whole top
side. You talk
was
about
like,
spending your life on a boat. Literally, by the time you right. start, it's time to start over again.
Right. And the top side was white. The hull was blue. I would start at the very tip top of it. Wash all the way down, and then I started waxing. And then the next week, I was started all over again. And that was the process was every damn week. And the whole boat had teak in it, so the teak always had to be clean. The metal had to be shined. And let me tell you, I was doing that for $20 an hour, like a straight hood rat slave. Wow. Okay, it was so bad. And then I learned that hey, all money like that's not it's not good. Okay. He told right. when he told me how when he told me how he beat the system, he was beating the system with me. Okay, never again.
Right.
So 112 is the biggest I've been on.
Jeez.
And that's he was crazy. Smoking and crack.
And that's really it's yeah. it's really it's not big.
Listen, and I have to tell you that if I had started on a 112 foot boat, we would not be having this conversation right now because that would have been my first and my last boat probably. Hell to the nah. There ain't no good music that could get me through that. And good music gets me through a lot. 112 feet? Right. Nope. There's no soda. There's no Snickers.
Yes, it is. I think if she was on a 112 foot boat, her go-to music would be Petey Pablo. She'd blast through half of that boat. Okay? You heard the Ludacris song. That's the other half. Okay? So... Let's be fair.
I side with Megan. I don't like being on big ones. That last one I did with Jamal and let's be honest, he did almost most of the work. that one was a 34 foot, 35 foot.
Yeah, see, that's just too big. No,
It is. And you know, it's a different story when it becomes a center console. I had a client a few years back who actually is the father of one of the girls on Haley's was on Haley's cheerleading team. You know, he's like, oh, I got this new boat, and he's like, oh, you know, it's only 24 feet. And I'm like, heck yeah, I'll do that. And he comes pulling, you know, I can't get it in my shop, so I was just going to do it here at the shop or at the house. It was just a one step polish and throw some wax on it kind of deal. And he come pulling down the street, and I'm like, you know, center console. I'm like, that is not 44 feet. Center console boats are
it's insane.
way taller, you know, which than the normal kind of
we and you can't you even know, because of that boat. You can't even go off the footage. What was that one that we did, Baker? I think it was either 17 or 19 feet. Do you remember what
so
I'm talking about? That was a center console.
So it was a 2001 Grady White. It was 18 feet, but it had a stance like a 25 foot.
It was freaking huge. literally the whole of it was taller than me. And I mean, I know y'all are going to crack up about that because I know that's not saying much because I know I'm short, but still, the whole of it was taller than me. So.
Right. I just, if I'm going to do a boat, I want to do like a bass boat that's only like a foot and a half deep.
No, you just want to do a jet ski. Jet skis are in and out. In and out.
Yeah, they are. They definitely are. So, question for Megan, since I asked the one for Rasheed. So you started, have you started your little side videography type business? And if so, how's that going? And will that ever take you away from detailing, or is that just something to play around with on the side?
I don't know. It really is more for me to play around with on the side. I don't know that it'll ever become full term just because the detailing side is more kind of what I enjoy. But I do the editing for us. That's kind of where it started out. And then I'd had people that had requested videos. So I don't know. I've done a few, and then Rona decided to happen. So I don't know.
That's good. All right. So that's like 45 minutes. 45 even. So I don't want to, we're having a good time, and I'm pretty sure everybody would love to hear more of the Bakers, but you know, maybe there'll be a part two. Maybe we'll do a part two one day. I appreciate you guys being on this little silly fun podcast that I kind of came up with on a whim and has actually seemed to get some attraction. People kind of like it. So you guys, if you don't know, so when I originally started this, I've kind of told the story. It was five. I figured five people, or five episodes, and wasn't even surprised I'd make it past two or three. So you guys were in my top five. It's just
awesome.
Look at that, Baker. You made the top five. Yeah.
Listen. So I get a top five. I get a top five in your heart, but I can't get a top five on Paytas assets. Damn, the shenanigans.
Hey, listen, I don't have the pull on that one. I might be an admin, but I don't get the vote on those types of deals.
Oh my goodness! I'm just gonna get him a participation ribbon. It's okay.
We seriously appreciate it.
Oh, for sure.
You know, you guys, I remember the first time I met you guys at MTE, you know, in front of the IGL booth, and we had a nice, real nice conversation, and you guys have been, you know, like super friendly to me ever since with the meet and greet and you know, me and Rasheed hanging out at SEMA and MTE this year and everything like that. Just so you guys are definitely people that I kind of knew, but again, you know, wanted to learn a little bit more about, ask a few other questions that, you know, there's sometimes we all get caught up in the work and it's hard to reach out to people and just kind of have a general conversation. So that's where that whole podcast kind of thing came from, with just people that I wanted to sit down with and ask some questions. So, you know, you guys made top five. We made it top five. People are still asking for more and more. So
awesome.
Next week we'll move on to the next five, and one of these days Aaron Knox is not going to get bumped for somebody better. So
I think that everybody in Florida we just need to rent a minivan and drive up to Atlanta and go see Knox. You know, hey, here we are. This is the Florida crew is here, baby. We're here.
Oh my goodness!
Let's go.
Listen, that he would probably love it. I don't know. I mean, he's.
I don't know. Didn't he throw a trash can at you?
He did throw a trash can at me. That is right. I almost kind of forget that.
I'm pretty sure he might put Baker in the trash can.
listen, I'm too big. I'm working on my dad bot for my calendar.
Okay. Oh God, I can't with you.
Who was that? You that suggested?
The yes, calendar? That was him that suggested the calendar. Fell so and listen, bumped his damn head.
Listen, I guarantee you, I can listen. When Jason posted that, I knew he didn't think that anybody would respond like that because that went out the window. And then Doc sent me a message. And if you can picture this, Alex, okay, just imagine this, okay? Doc is standing beside a Porsche, okay, in his penis ass and whitey tights, okay? He's got a razor blade. He's got a razor blade on one side of his mouth, and he's got a sneak in the other one. And he's giving the wink, wink. Oh,
The fact that you've actually imagined this is quite disturbing. I'm not gonna lie. It is.
You know, I'm gonna be truly honest.
You gave a very descriptive vision and visual of that.
I would almost think most people would think that I would have that visual, and I'm going to be honest with you, I've never once thought about Noxie in his underwear, and now that you...
You will now! Image,
I might, look, he's got I that might penis. Go hang myself. He's got the penis.
Uh-oh, who did we lose?
Uh-oh. You lost Baker. It cut him off.
We lost Rasheed, right?
That was his last joke. Listen, with that image, they're like, nope, we got to cut him off the podcast. Gods were like, yes, no, this is your exit, son.
He said, I'm out of here. I'm leaving on a high note.
We truly appreciate it. I'll thank you for both of us. Thank you for having us on. This was a blast. And I look forward to seeing what else you come up with, sir.
Well, thank you. And always as a last, if anybody wants to get in touch with you or reach out to you, you guys have a website, Facebook, Instagram, OnlyFans, Snapchat, TikTok, any of those things you want to promote or talk about, let people know.
Oh, God. Baker could have all of those. God only knows. I personally only have Instagram and Facebook for a reason, but no, if you need to hit us up, any business questions, I think most people know that I am horrible. I try to get back as quickly as possible, but like Facebook gets flooded. It's insanity. But I do get back to my messages eventually, I swear, even if I am 2 or 3 days late. So Facebook Messenger, Instagram, either one of those I have. I don't have a Twitter or Snap or any of that other crap. No, those two keep me busy enough. And again, for Baker, can't speak for him, and Lord only knows what that man has.
Well, I just sent him the link back. Maybe we can get him to jump back on. Maybe he's going to have an OnlyFans with the Pain Assassins, Tidy Whiteys. I don't know.
He's got quite the onesie collection going on with the socks.
There he is.
You're back on the mic with Baker.
Oh, my goodness. So he needs a he needs a confirmation from you. So if your fans want to get in touch with you, Mr. Baker.
You reach out to Megan.
Oh, God.
Well, we weren't sure if, you know, because I always ask everybody, you know, Facebook, Instagram, website, TikTok, Snapchat, and OnlyFans, any of those things. And you know, since you brought up the Pain Assassins, Tidy Whiteys, we didn't know if maybe you were going to debut an OnlyFans Rasheed Baker that you wanted to promote.
So you want me to get the Pain Assassins Jimmy Only account. I got it.
So, oh my God.
So you're talking about the wig? You want the full month? Okay. I mean, I'm down. If Jason doesn't make them, I will make them.
Oh my God.
My tan legs are popping, so we're good.
We might need the wig, the Pain Assassins, Tidy Whiteys, and the Trump socks.
Everyone viewing
this is going to need some very dark sunglasses.
Listen, it is on. Listen.
Oh, my God.
I got some
shit. Alex,
you don't understand what you're starting here, dude. I have to reel in the squirrel.
You're going to have a whole new fan group now. Like, it's not going to just be the Megan Baker groupie. You know? They're going to be like, oh, Rasheed's got some tidy white.
Oh, look at those chicken legs.
Ooh, yeah. Like, he's really working them Pain Assassin butt cheeks. Ooh, yeah.
Oh, God.
Oh, yeah. That's funny.
Oh, my goodness.
Okay. Well, again, I really appreciate it, guys. Thank you so much for doing this. You guys are the best. I love you guys.
Awesome. Glad we could give you a good laugh, sir.
Yeah. You know, I thought the Billy episode last week was maybe my best one, but this just is probably going to be the funniest one.
The bloopers will be the best part. They just have to watch till the end. Or listen till the end.
Listen, there's not going to be any editing this. It's just going to be
when I send a text message, I just send it how it comes out.
His talk to speak. Oh, my gosh. The bonics that comes out when this man texts you. If it actually comes through and it makes sense, by the way, y'all, it came from me. This man did not write it.
Nope.
If it comes through and you're like, what in the world? Was he trying to invite me to the barbecue or was he defriending me? If it comes through like that and you're really confused, Baker wrote it.
No, I'm 1,000% positive. Not going to deny it.
Well, you guys have a great night. Enjoy your weekend.
You too, sir.
Or whatever tomorrow. And I'll chat with you guys later.
Alrighty, sounds sir. Good, sir. Have a great night.
Thank you. You guys do the same.
Baker's appreciate out. It.
Bye.
Baker's out. Bye.
Later.
Bye. Oh my gosh, guys, that was the wonderful Bakers, Megan and Rashid from BCCD Jax. Oh man, what a great podcast. Those guys, always good for a laugh. So thank you for tuning in. First five episodes are in the books. Now on to the next five. I wasn't too sure we'd even make it this far. So now I'm starting to put a list together for the next five. And as always, Aaron Knox, next episode. Stay tuned.